Hello, everyone, and we are back once again for another episode of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. As always, you've got me as one of your hosts, James Banks, interviewer, class clown, idiot at the same time. Actually, I don't know where I'm going with this intro. I'll just start again.
I don't know either.
Bro. Yeah.
Wait, let me pause this one. 1 sec.
We're just going like this, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the All About Counter-Strike podcast. We're on episode 48. I am your host, James Banks, and the other host of this amazing podcast that you may enjoy or may not enjoy to watch is Devilwalk on the other side of Europe from me right now. Blast Bounty's just finished. I'm in a very good, happy moment of my life. Something amazing happened last night. Something amazing happened in Counter-Strike. Devilwalk, I'll just start by asking you because I'm feeling good. How has your little Elo grinder face it? What have you been up to? What have you been doing, mate?
I mean, it's definitely a mental challenge playing so many games in solo queue, because that's mostly what I do. I've been playing like 6 to 10 games a day for couple of weeks now.
Numbers.
Yeah, and
Jesus.
I've been like fluctuating a little bit up and down.
Yeah,
but I've been trying to coach my way back, you know. I'm telling myself words like, you have to dictate the duel. And I'm thinking about it in the game. Okay, I need to dictate the duel. This is what I want. And I swing and I kill, and it goes much smoother. Also things like I have to relax my wrist and arm, not be too tense. So smart. That the aiming is a little bit sharper, a little bit smoother. So it's going pretty well for a 34-year-old. But yeah, I'm up at 2,830 ELO now. I had a massive drop last time, whereby I was at like 2,600. So yeah, it's getting smoother and smoother. And there's some idiots for sure in some of the games. And sometimes I'm way over frustrated compared to what they've done.
That's how it is. You're part of the problem.
I think so, yes. But I think it's mostly when I've played like six, like I'm on my 7th game. Someone does one mistake and I just, I overreacted there. Like I, you know.
You know, I was talking to Donk about this because over Christmas, in 3 days, he told me he played 45 games. And I just said to him, like, is that not like really mentally testing for you? Because like you're so good and some of these people like can be so bad. And he's like, I don't care if I win or lose. That's like crazy, isn't it? He's just using it as like practice, feeling, going into it. Like he's in a different mindset than I could even begin to imagine. Like it literally doesn't bother him. He just wants to kill, do his thing, going through it. I'm sure there's frustrating moments, but probably more at himself. That's how I imagine it. But I had a really nice, good few conversations with Donk this event. Few interviews. Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later. For me, I'll tell you why I'm so happy. Because yesterday evening, I stayed awake later than I normally would because we had Dragon Ball Geki Damatsuri, which is a anniversary event. It happens once a year. It started back in 2024, if I'm correct. And it's basically like the showcase of all the new things that are coming for Dragon Ball.
And
obviously Dragon
it's
Ball
like
now
a Gamescom or what?
Imagine a Gamescom, but it's just for Dragon Ball. And it covers everything from anime to manga to like all things about the Dragon Ball IP. Now, we haven't had a new anime because Dragon Ball Daima, which people may know and love, like the new one that came out, it is part of the anime, but it wasn't a continuation of the manga that came from Dragon Ball Super. So Z, then Super is the follow-up after it. We basically, for the last 9 years, didn't get any new anime, but the manga's been running. We know some arcs. We know what's happening. I don't read the manga, so I don't know what's happened in these things. They actually announced it. We're getting Dragon Ball Super, the Galactic Patrol in 2027. It's incredible. Okay. It's crazy. Cool. One of the other announcements, a bit disappointing. We're getting Dragon Ball Z Beerus, or maybe there was Super Beerus. It's basically the same movies we've already had, put into one series, maybe. We're not fully sure on the information just yet. They obviously tease you with bits of it. But like, it is kind of just a remake of a movie that didn't come out that long ago, but I'm guessing they wanted to polish the way that it was done. For me, it's kind of meh. I'm not too interested in it. There's a new game coming out. It's called Age 1000 at the moment, also coming 2027. I'm hoping it's an MMO. We need a Dragon Ball MMO. Like, Dragon Ball's so huge, I don't think people understand how fucking huge it is. But, like, obviously, we played a lot of Gekashin Squadrons together. That was the MMO. No, that was the MMO. That was the, what do you call it? MOBA. And I did want Xenoverse 3. I've just finished Xenoverse 2 on the Switch, but I didn't come. But yeah, I'm very happy. And then we got into Counter-Strike today, and I predicted that Paravision would win, and they did win. I didn't expect them to win 3-0, but I'm going to say that. I didn't predict it with you. I mean, when we'd seen the event go down, I just had a feeling. But we got a lot of that stuff to get into. First thing, though, we should probably touch on, because you're going to know a lot more of this than I am, the Anubis changes came in. So we are sad. Train's gone. Yeah, we spoke about this before on the other podcasts. And now we finally get the update. It is, by the way, Valve, please, if you ever do happen to watch this podcast or someone just stumbles by it, when you make the map change and we know the competitive schedule, can we get the changes at the same time? Because teams have played the old version, now we're playing the new version. It's kind of sad. Yeah. What do you make of these Anubis changes? Because obviously I've not played any of it. I've not seen any of it. I've been watching the old map. You've actually played, right?
I have, yes. And I think it's a huge change, especially for the CT side. I personally think that the CTs have less scary options to be aggressive. So they can drop water and they can land before T actually make it down the stairs. You combine that with a smoke and you most of the time have the advantage if T wants to go stairs, which has a couple of different things that happen because of it. First of it, is that T's kind of have to circle around and move more towards carpet to hold that water push a little bit more. The second thing is that the B players can feel a lot more safe, because the big thing about playing B on Anubis was when they got the connector or cave control and they were poking you from B main, it was really, really difficult at times to find your position. Especially with people knowing like Molo's Pillar or Moloing Ninja, that thing could really, really screw you. Now, I think the other thing is you were kind of forced to always smoke connector or cave as a B player, or use both smokes there, because you didn't really want to smoke B main so they could go right side. Maybe only if they had an AWP or something. But they also open up a little bit of a hole above it. You can throw Molotovs to retake connector as CT. Obviously, the other way around, T's can actually throw Molos to the plateau or the plat area or ninja. So there's a little bit of a switch up there. I'm expecting to see some cool kind of retake setups, kind of different ways to play it. I think CTs have way more kind of nuance in if they want to play aggressive, bait it, like kind of fake aggression, because it's really hard to kind of confirm it early as T. And therefore, T kind of need to molo that new window gap, which is an extra Molotov to spend in middle, because you can't really molo that gap and molo full door. They reverse the door also, so you peek towards middle now with the opening of the double door. Makes it a little bit easier on multiple fronts for CT side. But you can also boost up that window to mid from water with a normal boost. So there are a few changes. If we move towards A, they only really added a box. But the box
itself... It's a good
itself,
box to have. It's huge.
It's a very, very good box, because you can actually exit the camera connector area without getting full spotted from pillar. So you could actually move out, take that position, and someone else can also swing out for you without you always being exposed as you push through that smoke when they do an A hit. So I think there's a lot of things that I like in this update. I actually think these are really good changes. They give an extra position on A. They give, you know, both T and CT the options to throw utility into the B or cave area, depending on which side you're on, without it being this awkward, like people were lining up the little gap and throwing temple smoke and moving in, and CTs could time you and stuff like that. So I think it's good changes. I think we're probably going to see still a T-dominant performance on the map, mm-hmm. but I think one or two rounds extra could go to CT side, a half.
Okay. So it's going to have maybe the desired effect to what people wanted. You've also got the CT yeah. economy that wasn't around, you know, the recent CT economy changes, which wasn't around the last time Anubis came into it. Teams now have to learn some of this new... Is it big changes that it's going to be quite hard for teams to learn and be ready for Krakow? Can you imagine them struggling a bit with that?
I don't think it's impacting the general gameplay of the map that much. I just think that there's like a few new things that CTs can do and like one less thing that Ts can do. Mm-hmm. But it's also like if CTs drop water, the counter to that is just rushing mid and taking that space that they dropped from. So there's still balance play to it without, you know, they can't really peek that window to stop you in mid. Like before, you know, you couldn't really cross mid if they had water. Now you can. And I think it's going to change the meta a little bit and people are going to have counter plays ready for it. And it's just a few new utility sets that you will need to learn. I don't expect it to be much, like maybe four new things on both sides, four or five new stuff. So it shouldn't
be
a massive change.
Have you seen a smoke or something? Sorry, I've got this lag because the internet here, by the way, is terrible, sadly. Is there a smoke you can throw from T or CT spawn, have you tried, where you can land it in that new mid window that's been moved?
I haven't tested smokes specifically. I've tested insta-molos. So you run and you throw a molo to that gap so that, you know, to stop CT from dropping water. That can be done. Cool. It's just essentially the same way you would throw an insta window smoke, insta window molo. You can do it in the same speed. So
nice.
CTs can still drop and take a few hits, or they can just pre-smoke it, whatever they want to do. It doesn't stop them, but I think it's still a utility piece that's interesting because you will also see a lot of more AWPers and maybe kind of peeking down the stairs and challenging from that way with the support of connector and A pushes. I think it gives it a little bit of a new edge, Anubis. I like the changes. I think they're good from both a pug standpoint, but also team standpoint.
Nice. All right, that's good. That's positive. And then there was also, this thing. The some people were trying to say, but it seemed to be only in workshop maps that the counter strafing was different. But if I'm understanding it correctly,
it wasn't.
A thing. Okay, so that was some fake news that came out. People got overhyped by it. Does shooting seem any better from the sound changes?
I think so, a little bit, but it might be placebo. But I think maybe just the information that you are fed to yourself is more in correlation with what's happening.
Also the response time that you're getting from him.
Yeah, like sounds and stuff like that kind of match up a little bit more. So maybe it's easier to kind of find the pattern of tapping, etc. Yeah. But for me, I just kind of feel bunny hopping is back. I love that with the movement.
Nice.
They fixed so you can actually bunny hop.
Can you bunny hop like greater distances now without getting stuck or getting hit by it, right? You can really start.
Yeah. I've done like four or five in a row.
Ooh. Oh, mate, we could start cooking.
So you can definitely do it. I don't know exactly how like I haven't sat in hours and hours to kind of hit all in a row, but I've definitely hit some bunny hops.
That's going to benefit Rops. Just saying, Rops is movement king. He loves all that.
Yeah, but it feels good. It feels good.
And then there's also some of the knife changes of sounds. Is it horrendous? Is it terrible differences? Because people love to lose their mind about these things.
I mean, we're probably going to get used to it, but my first opinion is that it's horrendous. I feel like every time I pick up my knife, I have an M9 bayonet? Or is it called that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I kind of pick it up, it sounds like I'm picking up a metal pipe from like asphalt. You hear this like drilling. That's how I feel every time I pick up my knife. It feels like I'm picking up a metal pipe. Hmm. And the slashing and like knifing someone sounds, I don't know, a bit gory, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know exactly how to. Yeah, I mean, it sounds weird. It just doesn't sound as Counter-Strike as we're used to. But I'm sure we'll get used to it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We do hate changes.
People who are listening or watching right now, let us know. What do you think of the sounds? What do you think of the bunny hop and all these changes? There's another one in here as well. SMG changes. I heard good things about the MP7.
I've seen a lot of people play the MP7. I haven't actually tried it because I have not had it in my inventory, and I haven't really swapped things out. I've just kept the MP9.
You're seeing more people use it?
I see it every single game. I see people use either the silence one or MP7.
Oh, MP5 silence, yeah.
So, because these are the
MP5 could be back for the first time since 1.6.
But don't forget about the Bison update as well.
Wait, there's a Bison update at the same time?
Yeah, I didn't see they reduced the cost by $100.
How much was it?
I have no idea. It was cheap to begin with.
Okay.
Bison is actually in mine, believe it or not. But it is for troll purposes only. Just as I have the Negev in my loadout.
But did they change any of like its damage or anything like that, or just the cost?
On Bison, it's only the cost. But on the other, there was some recoil stuff. I'm trying to find the news post here.
So it does seem like a win update. It does seem like they cooked with a good update here.
It's a very good update.
I'm liking this.
So I'm liking this. MP7 and MP5 had more damage and slightly reduced damage fall off.
Cool.
Oh, mate, Bison was just reduced price.
Okay. Before we go into any more news, I think we should announce our knife giveaway as well, because we've never done this. So to make this clear, there is no sponsor. This is just me and Devwalk buying a knife and giving it away for all the people who support the podcast and support the channel. And what I've chosen here is a Talon Knife Doppler, factory new, what they call it, a certain phase. Phase 4, it's worth about $1,000, give or take, depending on prices, fluctuation, all that stuff. To win it, all you have to do is comment down below on the YouTube video. If you're an audio only listener, then just head to YouTube, All About Counter-Strike. Comment on this video. You need to comment on this video, otherwise you can't win it. And you also need to be subscribed to the channel. So if you are not subscribed, but you do comment and you win, we can verify it. We're using the system and it will basically show us you're not subscribed and I'll choose someone else. But if you are subscribed and you don't comment, well, then you also can't win. So comment, like, subscribe, do those things. The like is not a must. We can't check the like, but if you do like it as well, it is helpful. But this is our first knife giveaway to give back. It's been over a year of us doing the podcast. There's a lot of support and a lot of love from you guys. So there you go. Talon Knife Doppler, factory new, phase 4 knife being given away. Completely free, no sponsors, no anything else, just from our own love to you guys for all the support. Good luck, have fun. We'll plug it a few more times during the podcast as well. All right, from here, we're going to a Swedish land and we're talking about Big Clan, because Big Clan won a LAN with BlameF carry bagging like he does from pretty much any team he plays for. Grix up there as well. They beat Havu in the finals of it all at the same time. I don't know how this year. They also got 149 VRS points, climbed to 33 on a ranking. That's huge. That's absolutely huge.
It is massive. It's, you know, from all the shit shows we've seen from Big in the past 2, 3, I don't even know how many years. changes. They've nailed this and they've got this right. It's obvious that they have something cooking now. They've reached a placement of 33 in VRS. That's very, very much on the limit of starting to get invites to some of these better tournaments and events.
Yeah.
That's
two LAN wins back to back now. A really easy one in like the Portuguese one, Roman Imperium Cup, you know, that's a bit easier.
I'll even do a reference. BC Game got an invite from Krakow, which we will discuss later. And they are ranked 28th on the VRS. So bigger about five ranks away from potentially being that last slot.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on what Big can do there. Teams that were there were like Harvu, Alliance, Johnny Speeds, Lil Mix. They went 2-0, 2-0, 2-0 across all the best of threes. So,
yep.
Yeah, they cleaned up once they got there. Fair play.
And Blame F was farming.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But I heard they paid him good money. That's the rumors, right? That he's got a good salary, a good deal here, which is why he went from Fnatic. The next bit of news. Yep. By the way, I love this news. Male. Yeah, the young boy from Sweden. How old is he? 16, 17? 16. 16 male is. Obviously, he does a lot of streaming. People might have watched his Twitch streams. He's been a very hyped up Swedish player. He was on Metasport and he joins Alliance on loan from Metasport. Then guess what happens? They play Metasport in that same United 21 Cup. Male styles on them, 1.41 rating, and it was a 1.78 rating on Ancient and absolutely destroys them 2-0. Why did they bench this kid and put him on loan?
I think, well, I was at the Swedish Cup and I watched them play earlier a couple of months back before I went to the major. And I think a big reason is they've put him in a role that he is not comfortable in when he was playing in Metasports. He didn't really find the groove. They didn't really suit the system in that sense. So I just think that maybe Metasports were approaching it in the wrong way how to kind of give them or give Mail the spots that he wants and freedom and ways to express himself as a player.
Do where, you know you who know, had these roles on Metasport?
No, not. They've changed their lineup a couple of times.
I'm looking down this player list, yeah? Jacquinho, Isaac, Plopski. I know these three. If any of them have any of his positions, then you give up that position and give it to Mayo. Then there's Forzy and Dragon. I don't know these guys. Dragon had a stinker of a game. It's just one game. Can't read too much into it. But I mean, this is a young 16-year-old talent that people have been hyping up and talking about. Why would you not give him what he needs?
Yeah, I talked to the Alliance coach about this. And he essentially said they just gave him the roles that, you know, with a lot of freedom to do whatever he wants around it. And that's kind of the result that you see, that when he gets the trust and freedom to express himself, his skill is going to shine through. But if you put a player like that in a box that has to follow very, very specific kind of ways to play, you're probably not going to get that kind of impact out of him. So good on Alliance. They're very, very happy with being able to get him on loan.
I want to see what they can
do. Yes, man. Very funny. Very funny that he smashed his old team in the first land back. You know, like.
And you can't even deny it. It's on land. It's not like some online game or anything like that. The kid styled on him on land. Bro, this is...
Very, very funny.
Yeah, this is insta regret, you know. Guys, can we take him back, please? Can we take him off loan and bring him... By the way, if
Do we have a cancel clause?
can we trade back? If I'm male right now, then I'm his parents, because his parents are pretty involved in his career from that video I watched. If they come back for you, give them the middle finger. Tell them, no, not happening. I don't want to go back to your organization. It's not worth it. Yeah, because if a team chooses to use you correctly and give you what you want, and then you can play better, that's better for your career. That's a team that I like is backing his interest for the future, you know?
Yeah. I think Alliance, to be honest, is probably one of the better teams for him to kind of learn in. They are very, very... They have two coaches. They have Hawk is more the analytical coach, and they have another coach that stands behind them on LAN, who used to be their manager, but it's more of the hype guy kind of coach, the people person coach, so to speak.
Yeah. I got you. And Twist is on that team.
Twist is on that team.
That's a good person with experience to help a young player like Mayo. I'm even more sold. I didn't know this alliance. I'm not even pretend. I don't know this alliance lineup at all. But Twist obviously has had success at big events before. He's not like the greatest, most notable Swedish player, but he was always capable in those early days.
They're not that far behind of Eyeballers if we look at it that way. Obviously, Eyeballers recently had some big showings, and Alliance actually won the Swedish Cup a couple of months back and absolutely demolished Eyeballers in that. So
before Mayo.
Yes. They had the Poi instead.
Yeah.
Who obviously went to 100 Thieves.
Well, this is, bro, I'm hearing like positive shuffles around the Swedish scene. This is good news for you guys.
It is very good news.
You got an Eyeballers, you got Metasport, you got Poi now on 100 Thieves.
We got Johnny Speeds with Freiburg as the coach. They're looking better and better, at least eye test wise.
Rez is consistent and as well.
Yeah, he seemed to be back.
Yeah. Okay. I'm liking this. All right. So from here, time to look at our review of the Blast Bounty 2026 Season 1 Finals. Obviously, this was the portion that was on LAN. This was our 8 teams that made it this far through the online stage. To give you an idea, if anyone wasn't watching, teams that were there: Falcons, Vitality, Furia, Spirit, Paravision, Game Legion, Heroic, Liquid. Because it's the online portion, we'll get some lesser known teams in there. Some big name teams like Mouse, like Mongols didn't even attend. Then you've also got teams like Na'Vi and FaZe who were eliminated in the first round unexpectedly when we covered the online portion. If you want to check that out, it's on the previous episode of the podcast, episode 47. But let's start from the bottom to the top as we always do, mate. So in the quarter games, we had Falcons taking on Liquid. Remember as well, we didn't know the predictions we couldn't do predictions for this, only winners, because
they haven't picked each other yet.
It's a draft pick. So I do this draft show and they have to pick a team. So Liquid picked Falcons, thinking Falcons would be weaker because Kioski wasn't there. We had Nucleon standing in against Liquid. Liquid still, I'm just going to say this, right? We now know, obviously, Liquid had a family emergency. I'm not going to say what a family emergency was because it was told to me in confidence, but it is a really sad one. It's not a nice one for NAF to go through, but NAF is not the problem. He's been more consistent in the last 6 months for Liquid. I've been happy with him. Ultimate right now, he did the do you see the interview? He did the interview with me.
And he this even one I
called
saw.
Himself, bro, he called himself a donkey, and I didn't know how to react. He was like, maybe they will kick me. I hope they won't kick me. I'm thinking, the interview, that was the first time I did an interview where I basically felt like the player knew he was going to be kicked and he was trying to signal to me, I'm getting kicked. Like, this is over. But surely they would have done that at the beginning of the season before the game start, not like...
I'm not awkward, sure. Right? Yeah, but he might have just played you, man. To be fair.
Well, he didn't play in the game.
Yeah, but he's playing other games. I don't know.
Me in the interview.
Yeah, yes, it was awkward, but I felt like also he was having a little bit of fun with it. Like, he thought it was funny. I think in some sense, shocked. That's
the
kind of what matters.
The community was shocked. Yeah, okay. He delivered a banger interview, but then he delivered a 0.6 rating. He did cost them the game. Like, there's not many times you can fault like one specific player, but when you are the AWPer and this level is now even below what you showed at the major, the Twists, who obviously Twist picked up this player, rooted for him, said he could do well. We saw moments of him being able to do well, but they don't exist anymore. They haven't existed now at the major and to start off Blast Bounty. I'm not impressed. I'm sorry, Ultimate.
Yeah, I'm not impressed either. I mean, he has a minus six swing round, 0-60 rating. It's like,
yeah,
fine, you have a stinker on Nuke. Fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal as an AWPer. Like, maybe they just played it well. You know, they kind of isolated the duos, played well with you, never really finding the timing for break smokes or whatever. But Dust 2, man. It's Dust 2. It's like, yes, AWPer's heaven. You can't sit on a 0-48 rating on an AWPer map. That's when they need you the absolute most. Like, this should be your playground. You look at the other side, Monacy, 23-12. Yes, I'm aware. He probably shouldn't have taken duels against Monacy, but I don't even know how the...
But he's not going to be directly taking duels against Monacy a lot of the time.
No. Hopefully not. I'm trying to see if I can actually look at here. Okay, so we have Ultimate. Ooh. Yep. Monacy killed Ultimate 8 times. Ultimate killed Monacy once on Dust 2. So he did take a lot of duels against Monacy. Actually, he took the absolute most duels against anyone against Monacy. And that probably was part of the problem. He should have probably tried to go for a little bit easier pickings. There's one thing about, you should be a confident AWPer and just try, you know, to do what you normally do. But sometimes, just like,
chill out.
If I'm a rifler and I'm playing against Donk, maybe I don't just run towards Donk, you know? Maybe I chill a little bit.
Some teams do that pretty well.
So, yeah, one team. But I think, it's obviously a stinker. He hasn't really been impressive at all for the past year. I think he's had good showings against teams that are in disarray. I'm talking about the Astralis game on Nuke, where at the major, where he played really, really well. But I felt like he was playing well.
But they were already done for.
But I felt like he was playing well because Astralis were shit.
Yeah.
Like, they were giving him freebies on top of main and freebies, like, just out in the open in yard. There was no cross smokes. They were just taking raw duels after a flash. And yeah, I just feel like he's a bit outclassed in that position.
Yeah. It's just crazy for me because, like, Twist obviously vouched for him. The team believed in him at the beginning. And I was sold that dream. And I saw some of these moments from him individually where I would say, yes, he's capable. But now it feels like with all the instability, the different change of IGLs, like all the change going around him, that he can't keep up with him or keep up with them. And now he's just struggling against any opposition. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
I mean, I would think that he can still perform against mediocre teams, but I still think that if Liquid want to be good, it's a new AWPer they need.
Yeah. And he's had enough time now. But the thing is, right, you said like he can perform against lesser opposition, yeah? So let's go the Gentlemates series. He did perform really well, but it was on Inferno that kind of carried him through on it. And then in the end, they destroyed. On the NIP game, Ultimate was the lowest rated player. So when he comes up against a competent AWPer, because Wrinkle played really well in that game, even the rest of his team happened to do the heavy lifting before he can. He was lower rated than Shuhei. And people can go, oh, it's just stats and numbers. But I'm telling you, watch the game. Sometimes he was swinging for things on like Ancient, where he swings and the miss is like, any AWPer on a top 20 team would hit those shots. Martinez is hitting them shots on Gentlemates. Alcaren's hitting those shots on Heroic, you know?
Martinez is hands down a better Oper than Ultimate. That's not even... No space for discussing it even.
Okay, but also Alcarin's are 100% a better Oper as well. And these teams should be below Liquid, yeah? They should be below Liquid with its organization, the players and teams they have. 100%
agree.
And that is a problem. That is a real problem. And I'm worried for them in Krakow now. Obviously, we'll come to that later. But obviously, there's a lot now for Liquid to try and deal with, and it's going to hurt their VRS. So Liquid went out. There wasn't this, obviously, they made it to the LAN finals, which is a positive, but it wasn't a positive showing in the end. This Heroic, by the way, this is a Heroic that are playing with Youngster, who's not an AWPer, and yet they still impressed me in so many ways. Nilo, I'll give it to him. I'm warming up to him. Another Swede in there. The crazy thing about this series was it was 13-3 win on Mirage for Heroic. Then Furia win 13-2, basically off the back of, I don't know, Molodoy doing everything.
That was kind of the whole series.
Bro, I'm glad you said that. I looked at this game as it was almost 1v5 for Molodoy time and time again. And I'm not talking about like the other players weren't stepping up, but it was, there was no other consistent piece performing well around him. Like, Yuri can have a round, Kaiswara can have a round, Yukinda can have a round, Fulham can have a round. But there was no one constantly backing him up, and it felt like Molodoy had to do everything in order for them to carry that over the line.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Furia and their individuals aren't on their highest peaks right now. And I'm talking especially Yekinda, Yuri, and Kisirato, who are the heavy hitting rifles that team. And Molodoy is looking better, a lot better than at the Major. If we're gonna be fair, and they just look a little bit off. But that's not to discredit Heroic. I think that, you know, they're a very, very new team, very new kind of new in-game leader, Susp coming in. Yep. They've been, you know, obviously in this scenario, had to play with a stand-in as well. So
who's not an AWPer?
Who's not an AWPer playing an AWP? It's a little bit weird and wonky for them. And I understand why, you know, when things go wrong, it just doesn't feel like they have the right solutions. Even though Youngster have played with this team for a long time, it's still weird. I think they did really well. I've always said I'm impressed by Christian as an in-game leader, what he tries or what he manages to get out of his players when they play. You know, obviously had a little bit of a choking issue in the last of OG at the end, where they probably should have been able to snatch a major qualification of some sorts, but didn't. I like this guy, and I like what he can build, what he calls, how he plays. I think he's one of those in-game leaders that can have a lot of fragging impact in his teams, actually. Doesn't always top the scoreboard and sometimes have shit games, but he can deliver clutches. He can deliver, you know, 1v3, 1v4 attempts that are decent on a impact scale.
He's been reunited with Tobiz as well from the Malzin XT days, which I think is positive for him. The only thing I'm still concerned about for Heroic is Nilo, online, different beast. On LAN, still not as confident. I did an interview with him for the first time in person. I've only done online ones before. And I can also understand, like, he answered no problems. But, I mean, he does take me as he's still got some nerves, some jitters to get over in playing, in doing this stuff. Obviously, he will get that experience on the Heroic and be able to do it.
Yeah,
but the way things ended for him on Nuke was like he was getting destroyed while XFloud was still confident enough in a losing game to still hold his own and perform well. And I'm not just talking numbers because he did have a very good Nuke for XFloud, but like XFloud was never a problem where Nilo just couldn't back up the same. He couldn't go for the same fights. He couldn't make the same plays as he was in the online stage. So he's still on watch for me. I'm more interested in him, but we need to see some more from him. And by the way, they don't know yet if Alcarin's even going to make it to Krakow. So, they're hoping. But we'll when we do our preview of the Krakow stages, we'll go through that. From here, Game Legion were the next team eliminated. They got 2-0'd by Vitality. But boy, if you look at that 2-0 and you just think Vitality cleaned up Game Legion, it's not quite the case. This was a closer game on both maps. I'm still really liking what I'm seeing from Snacks in terms of calling and how he's using these players. Hypex, by the way, definitely the right choice of AWPer for Game Legion. Yeah, legitimately good player. Solid pistol rounds as well. I remember him getting a 3K, I think it was on Inferno, to clutch out one of the pistol rounds for him. You're going up against the best team in the world, right? The best team of last year. It's not going to be easy. It sometimes wasn't pretty. I would say like PR had some struggles here, but it's still, for me, I'm liking more about this Game Legion than, say, the last 6 months of last year.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think they were on a pretty heavy downwards trajectory in the last 6 months of last year. They just couldn't get their groove going. And, you know, there's a lot of hype about these players and couldn't really fit an AWP in. The systems seem to be falling apart as they struggle to find that AWPer. So it's good to see them kind of back in form, some of the individuals, see them sharp again, because that's what they need. That's what's exciting about them. And playing, you know, some good Counter-Strike with Snacks at the helm isn't too shabby. But I think Vitality is the big discussion point in this game. They look shaky, man. And it's almost like they're winning games because all of a sudden it feels like Apex just turns on a switch and everyone starts like kind of getting into the same mode that he's in. I don't know if he's yelling and being really mad at people. Sometimes it feels like Vitality is like they're just playing the game, and then all of a sudden, we need to win as well. And then they start winning and doing rounds that just make sense. And they're playing off each other. Yeah, it's kind of a lock-in time. That's how it feels sometimes with Vitality. But yeah, not super impressed by Vitality in this tournament. We'll probably talk even more about
it. We'll come back to Vitality in a bit. Yeah. And then the next team to get eliminated, this was the shocker. This was where this whole crazy run started. Paravision eliminate Spirit. After losing the first map of Overpass, 13-5, yeah? Again, you've seen this before. We spoke about this at the major. Paravision. Oh, it's B? We don't know about A, but there is the B. So I will keep hitting B, and they will hit B, and they will keep going B. They were targeting B to the point where Spirit had three players sometimes there. Tanir's like, it's a great day to be a B player. He was hitting everything, yeah? So, like, imagine it's your opponent's map pick. You start off 8-4, and after that, it was like they just had full control. Tanir just felt like he could do anything. He was outperforming everyone on his team by far. What did he drop? He had a 2.11 rating. Donk was 1.22.
I will say the early rounds, I think it was 4 out of 5 of the early rounds that Spirit got on their CT side could have gone either direction. There was some very, very close moments in the early spaces of that game that could have snowballed Paravision. Because, I mean, it's one of the things that I kind of, if I would see it in a normal game, what they do when they approach B, I would almost get mad at my teammates. But what the fuck are you doing? And it's, you know, they take kind of, they get into Monster, they pressure, they go out, and then they just stand there for like 40 seconds. No one's trying to plant a bomb. No one has a smoke for heaven. No one's pushing water. Yeah. They're literally just standing inside between Monster and Pillar and jiggling, waiting for CTs to overcommit. And it almost works so good because it's almost dumb. Like it's almost dumb to do.
Oh, bro.
But it works because someone always fucking peeks up water and gets headshotted, and they can move forward after they get that pick. So it's smart in that sense. But if you know that's what's happening, it feels dumb to do it, you know, like the way they approach it, but it works somehow. And it's their way of playing, and they do it similarly on other maps as well. But Monster, for me, I just kind of categorize it as such a vulnerable place to just be without getting the bomb down. But
and
they're then, abusing then, right, the time.
They are abusing the time and their patience and the fact that Jane micromanages so very well in this. Then we go to Mirage, Spirit's pick, right? You're thinking this is Donk's playground. Now, Donk did perform incredibly well. He's going to, right? Sontic's having some great B-holds. 15 first kills. No clutches in this game. 15 first kills, yeah? For Spirit. And they still lost. Because Paravision would either just halt or they would wait for someone to make a mistake again. And I'll say this. The T side from Spirit, yeah? Magix has to take responsibility. He's a new IGL. I'm not going to blame him and say terrible decision. None of that. But I mean, Magix didn't know what to do and Halley can only help out so much. It is so different to play against the Paravision and how James calling that you could see Donk was getting frustrated again. And remember now, Magix is IGLing, not trying to just lift the mood of Donk. So he's got two tasks in there. And this is where it started to get crazy. Now, that game still had some chance where it could have been Spirit taking it. Yeah, I would say that one. But on Ancient, I felt like it was more one-sided because there wasn't so many openings. It was a great start for Spirit, but then Jame on Ancient, it's his playground. He loves it. Bro, there's one bit where he pulls off the 4K with the AWP, baits him to go out of the smoke, kills him. Like Zontix is then pushed behind him. There were so many good moments. And like, to Jame to style on him on that last map as well, he just proved he was the more experienced, bigger brain in there. And yeah, he doesn't have a Donk, but he does know how to use his players to the right way and they will listen to him.
Yeah, they're just a super awkward team to play, honestly. It just, it's crazy. And I mean, I read a stat even about them. They are the most traded deaths out of all teams in the world.
Yep.
And it's because they are so grouped and someone dies, they're fucking ready to trade him. You never kill a Paravision player. Yeah. It's like it doesn't matter where on the map you are. If you think you have an escape path, you just don't. They're all fucking so close to each other, ready to trade. And it's... Mm-hmm. I mean... I would be annoyed if I played that style, especially with how sharp their aim seemed to be at the moment. But I did write, you know, about Paravision even on Twitter. Like, it's refreshing to see a different style of Counter-Strike. And I personally believe that it's one of the most beautiful things you can do in Counter-Strike is kind of have your own philosophy, find success in a different way than other people do. And I mean, it just makes me a big Paravision fan. Makes me a big Jame fan. Yeah. Because he's doing something no one else is capable of doing.
And he's working with less, right? He's making more from less.
Yes, yes.
Because he doesn't have these superstar players. Dastan and him always say, we don't have a Donk. We don't have a Munacy. We don't have a Zywu, you know? We don't have a Molodoy. They're doing it in their way. And by the way, one of the only successful AWP IGLs that we have now, yeah? Fallen's no longer AWP IGL. Yep. Cadian is not in top tier CS. Jame is still making it work. And I know how much that means to him because when I spoke to him at the Star Series, Star Ladder event before the major, he was saying like, I don't know if I can make this work as AWP IGL, but I still want to push and try. And guess what? His philosophy is working. And because he's one of the more experienced players, you notice in a game like this against Spirit that he can actually perform individually well at the same time. And also, I love how honest Jame and Dastan are, where they literally say, yeah, when we played Astralis, we just focused on Hooksy. When we play Spirit, we avoided Donk. Yeah? Donk was having to rotate into many situations and already the big bomb site is taken and he's like, he's going from mid into B and there's nothing he can do even with all his mechanically gifted ability and his sharp aim because the site is lost, the smokes are down, and then someone will be there when he gets the first kill to trade off and get him down, you know?
Yeah.
This for me... People went like crazy because obviously I made the post about this new... So Zowie sponsors Spirit, yeah? Made Mice Forever, one of the best companies in gaming for heroes and stuff like that. Now, Donk has always used the Logitech G Pro Wireless his whole career. Never changed. They are obviously making a new shape for him because it's a Zowie mouse with no side buttons. Even me and you didn't see this in Budapest, by the way. We saw that other version of something else that's coming. but we didn't see this version. So this has been created is like for Donk. Now, some people were telling me, oh, like it's a marketing thing. I'll tell you this, making this shape is not about a marketing thing. This is like building.
But that's a prototype.
It's a prototype. And it's basically the internals of what Zowie have is better than the Logitech G Pro Superlight. Yeah. There's the, from the receiver to the sensor and stuff, like the build quality will be better on the Zowie. So if they're making something specifically for Donk and he's having some input in this, let him cook with it. I don't care that Donk's performance wasn't so good within this whole series. By the way, it still dropped a 1.10 rating, which most players in their whole careers are happy with. But it wasn't a Donk level performance. I'm not reading too much into this other than Magix just needs more time to learn how to deal with these kind of games. And Paravision are very difficult to play against. Because you are at the moment just following Halley's way.
It's one of those things, and probably why, you know, this might even sound weird, but because you can apply this to even when we criticized Liquid as an example earlier, is this is the first tournament of the season. This is the tournament Vitality got knocked out of, not even being relevant at last year, and then came swinging the next tournament around. Because this is a tournament people have a week. And this is where they see the first flaws they have in either a new system, a new way of thinking, the new pairings on the map, or whatever it might be.
Yep.
And they are going to have the time to absolutely fix this. It will not take long, and it will just make some of these teams that have a bad performance just elevate them, because now they have the kind of template for what to fix and what to focus on compared to going into the dark from practice and running with it.
Yeah, very true. And also, Paravision, they came back from practice way earlier than any of the teams there. All these other teams came back to practice way after. And that's just a difference in mentality and obviously having some young players and being in a situation where you feel like you
and
need
living
to grind
with Dustin
a bit harder, you know? Yeah, also living with Dustin, and he is your coach. We'll come on to that later as well. So then we go into our semi-finals. And remember, the only choice here was Vitality being the lower seeded from how that seeding worked at the time, got to make their pick. So they picked Falcons, thinking Falcons with a stand-in, easy game, we go grand final. Well, it wasn't an easy game today, was it, Vitality? This series was wild though, right? Because Inferno has been, it's been getting better for Falcons. They're not as bad as what they used to be on it, right? It's definitely a map they're learning to play good. Vitality pick it, can't win it. But then Falcons picked Anubis thinking that Vitality would struggle because of what they saw against Eyeballers. And trust me, Falcons didn't look like they were ready for it. Like, Falcons got absolutely destroyed, man. Only Monacy performed well.
I mean, this might be... Like, I'm just going to bring it back to something different now. This might be the worst game of Counter-Strike I've seen Saivu play. If you would remove Anubis, which he had a 183 rating on, he still finished with a 183 rating map on 085 rating overall.
Yeah, bro, the Inferno Mirage was so terrible.
Like, it was shocking to see him. It looked like a different player. It looked like me holding an AWP against people 500 ELO above me. Like, I don't know what was happening.
Did you see one round, by the way, where he heard a player pushing behind him, on Mirage? I think it was Nucleons, was loud as hell coming through connector.
Yes.
And he's so focused on window.
And he was jungle.
Didn't turn around, and the guy got a kill, and nothing. I was like, this is not Zaiwu. And even, by the way, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He might have had some team communication, people talking a lot in comms, but you hear elephant footsteps that close behind you. This wasn't like the distance was really big and he can't hear it as much. This would have been loud, bro.
Yeah. No, it was. I saw
he was
that
off.
Round.
You know, he was thrown off completely.
It was
5-15.
Night and day.
5-15, Zaiwu. Zaiwu, we're talking about.
It wasn't a lack of trying either. Like... I don't know, he was put in position and it felt like he was just missing shots, like easy shots, like Saivu shots that just regular, he was 100 out of 100, win these duels. You'd go out short, peek right side, box top mid, miss the shot and just die. It just looked really weird.
Yeah, it was such a strange game. And even Apex in the loser interview to me was obviously, he mentioned it multiple times, just the individuals. The problem is when I did that interview, I didn't have the stats to know how bad it was for Zywoo. I could have pushed on it a bit more. So that's a bit bad on my side because I would have liked to say like what was going on with Zywoo.
But I mean, Rops didn't have a good game either. I saw multiple moments from him as well where it was uncharacteristic. Like someone just, you know, I think it was Kixon who just pushed apps against Rops holding the line and he just missed every single bullet on him.
But do you know
started
what also?
Panic so spraying.
Vitality, because they're doing three events back to back that they don't normally do. They normally do two events, break, two events. Yeah, that's normally the Vitality schedule. They're going Blast Bounty. They use this as practice because they only had 2 days practice before the event began online. So they came back way later than other teams. Now, they deserve a break after the year they had. I'm not knocking that at all. And these guys know how to manage a good schedule. But I'm just telling the community out here and everyone listening that they went for a longer break. So they had 2 days practice before online, then came to this. Also, it's harder for the teams to practice here in Malta because the internet's pretty bad here. Like, it's just a fact. It's not great internet within this country. It's an island. Routing is hard.
I will say, like, when I've been there, it's been like, you go on, connect to a regular Faceit server, you'll have regular 20% loss. Like, there's not a single game you won't have loss.
Now, they are still practicing, so they still know what they're doing. And obviously, when they're playing the event, it's on land, so there's no excuse when you get to that. Yeah. But I will say, they're now doing then Krakow, and then they're doing Cluj straight after. So they got time to fix things. I'm not worried. I'm never worried about Vitality for one event, especially a Blast Bounty, which they didn't even win last year on both attempts, you know? But again, it was just the way the individuals performed that we should be scared a little bit, because I still expect way better from Zywoo and Rops.
It is the same kind of narrative that we've run through like the entirety of last year. This is the red flag for Vitality. You managed to get top four again. You know, it's
red flag, you're still in the semis.
Yes. Like this is not good enough, Vitality. Top four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was the 16th event in a row.
They're still banging them out. Still absolutely banging them out.
Yeah.
All right. So from there, Paravision's next victim was Furia, who ended in the semifinals. But I'll tell you this, there was a bit more of a difference in this one. Yeah. Pretty much everyone except Nota performed well on Paravision. Molodoy was having a stinker. And Fallen definitely wasn't ready to call against Jame. He gave Jame the respect. He told me in the winner's interview, in the pre-match interview before the game, he respects Jame. He's been watching it all. But guess what? There were so many rounds. He was running the clock down T-side. They were grouped up as Furia and then entering a bomb site where Paravision read you. They knew where you, like, this was not the normal Furia T-side. We can talk about individuals on Furia not being good, but I will even say that some of the calling was bad from Fallen. Yeah. The awareness was bad.
This is one of the few games that I actually missed because I was out on dinner.
That's fine. You were out for dinner. You didn't have to see it all.
Yeah. It was a rough one.
But also then what I can do is I can give some more context. There's a clip going around at the moment where Dastan held the hand of Yekinda. Yeah.
That's what I saw.
Shaking it. And people thought, like, what the hell's going on? It looks a bit strange. Now, I spoke to both Yekinda and Dastan in person today because Fury had a signing session. I spoke to Yekinda. Yep. I said, what happened here? Like, what the hell's going on? He said they had not a disagreement, but a misunderstanding before the game. Now, these guys know each other. Yekinda was previously coached by Dastan. They are friends, yeah? So there was a disagreement and a misunderstanding before the game. Off camera before anyone stepped on stage. Yeah, so when we're backstage. Then they've gone on stage. Dastan's gone over to him to like kind of talk a little bit more, apologize, let it go. Like let everything happen, yeah? And then he shook his hand. He's obviously on camera during this and he's shaking his hand for so long. Now I said to Dastan, because remember, Dastan's a bit older, yeah? He's in a similar age group of us. I said, you should probably know, as someone who's lifted a major trophy, been at many big events in your career, you don't go to the opponent before the game like that. Any problem you had, you should have done it after the game had finished, because then it kind of ruined, it can take all these other things.
Yeah.
Keep this stuff between you guys, but this, it wasn't smart from Dastan, and from whatever the misunderstanding or disagreement was on the other side, it also wasn't good from both parties. So it isn't just like Dastan's at fault, Dastan's bad, blah, blah, blah. They both took their part in this and it was a misunderstanding. I heard that from both Yekinda now and Dastan to just clear up this messy situation. But Dastan, as a more experienced, more mature man, should know better. Definitely should have known better. Because you don't just walk over and go and see the opponent like that before. And also, Fulham was more fired up in that game. If you saw the videos, Fulham was like shouting over at them and stuff at the same time. So, you know, there was a lot in this one. But I do feel like Furia could have won Inferno. Just the calling on the T-side was really bad in the end. Also, by the way, Paravision, it wasn't their pick and they opted to start T-side on Inferno. They like to do that quite a lot. And it worked massively in their favor. So Paravision find themselves in the grand final. Then we get on to our grand final Devil Walk. And I called this from the morning. Oh yeah, and before we get to the grand final, yeah, I'm going to send you this Devil Walk so you can watch this at the same time.
Okay.
You might have not seen this. When we just during the semi-final exit interviews, I did the exit interview with Magix from Team Spirit. Yeah?
Yep.
And he was so, I think, flustered, nervous, out of it. He was giving some great answers, Magix, by the way. Wasn't trolling in his loser interview. Wasn't giving me one-word answers. But are you watching this video?
I can watch it if you want me to press play.
Yeah, so watch it.
Okay.
Because a lot of people picked up on this. People tweeted at me. It was a Reddit post. There was some HLTV forum threads about it. And it, the Reddit one got me because it said, Banks practices tracking. Because I want people to understand, I wasn't being disrespectful for Magix at all here, but a microphone is directional. Yeah? So as Magix is moving, and he is basically in like a AD state outside of the game, like he is counter-strafing in my interview, I think he was still so shocked by what had happened and how bad this was and just processing everything. And then because he's an in-game leader now, he's being rolled out for the interview. Respect to him for doing it. But I wasn't doing anything disrespectful. I had to track him so you hear what he's saying. So I'm trying to follow him while asking questions. While it was a crazy exit interview, man. And like, I've never seen Magix like this. Magix has done exit interviews before when Chopper was not doing English interviews. So like, that's just one thing to note on that whole situation. It's going to be different for him now as a leader.
It's definitely different. There's a lot more things outside of the game that you have to keep track of. And obviously when criticisms hit, and you know, he's been a criticized player in this spirit, but he's never been criticized for how he thinks as well, you know? Yeah, obviously a lot more of heat is going to go towards him, especially if they continue to have bad placings where people expect them to upgrade their team. You have Chopper as well, constantly co-streaming their games. They're all the in-game leader, kind of watching and narrating their performances in Russian. I don't know what he's saying, but I know that he's streaming every single game. So that probably adds an extra layer of pressure from the Chopper fans of the world. And it's been pretty big, that stream. I think it's been one of the biggest co-streams out there so far. Tons of pressure added on Magix.
Big time. I will say this as well. Coming into this final, I did have Falcons winning the whole event, even after the Nucleons thing. I didn't go back on it. But I did say today when we were going into the game, I said, I just have a feeling the Falcons are going to mess this up. I thought it would be like a 3-1, 3-2 to Paravision. Didn't expect the 3-0. And Falcons started off on Mirage really bad. They started off on Dust2 really bad. And when I say really bad, the first half of every game was terrible for Falcons. They were not in the beginnings of these games. Even if they can get a couple of rounds, eventually control would go the way of Jame. And I don't blame any of this on Nucleons. He may have been the worst rated player of the thing, but he's just a stand-in rookie who's never played a grand final, never played a big event LAN. He's played one LAN his whole career. Before this game, before this event, he had 5 HLTV matches. I'm not blaming Nucleons for not being able to fill in for Kioski, but I will blame other players of Falcons for not living up to expectations at all.
I think this is kind of a weird thing about Paravision when you play them. It seems like it does not matter what kind of start, because they lost Pistol, obviously. They found a solution instantly. They kind of grind their way into it. And that's how it feels like almost all the time, that they're always in control. Even they can have really bad rounds. It feels like they almost always have a solution or close to a solution next couple of rounds. Because when I watched this final, and even as I watched it back one more time, I don't think under any map at any point in time, maybe except for Inferno at 11-11, where I worried that Paravision was going to lose that map. I think they are so good at what they do. It's incredible. And when you see players like Nota playing to this level, he's not even...
He was the MVP for me.
He was really good, and he probably deserved an MVP for these performances.
So while you're talking Nota, let me give you some huge, huge thing. I can't wait to get your opinion on this. I've been saving this. I didn't even tweet it. I saved it for the podcast. So,
okay,
Nota, not used to playing on LAN, yeah? Plays a lot more online. In the interview, he talks to me about his sensitivity. His accent was a bit hard for me to understand. We're doing like the live winners interview, the crowd's going. So I didn't fully understand at the time. I spoke to him after they'd won. All the cameras are gone, right? They're gone. They're celebrating. And he comes up to me. He's like, bro, my sensitivity, I changed it before the grand final. And I'm like, why would you do that? That sounds like a terrible idea. Yeah. He changed his sensitivity by 0.1. Because he said online, he plays with this sense and he didn't feel the same since he got to Blast Bounty on LAN. So he played some okay games. Like, let's look down just Nota's ratings across. Can you bring that up, Nota's ratings across the games he played here? As I tell the story? Just bring that up for me. Bring that up for me. So I haven't finished yet.
So Mirage,
give me
for
his
example.
Matches ratings. No. The grand final. Before the grand final, map ratings.
Okay. So Paravision versus Furia. Oh, Paravision Spirit. Here we have. So he had a 101 rating with 43 kills, 46 deaths, middle of the pack in Paravision. He went on and played Furia with a 0.80 rating, 21 kills, 31 deaths.
All right, stop there. Stop there, because I know the grand final one. So he said when he was playing, and I don't believe this. I think this is placebo. He said on LAN felt like different to online, maybe because of the ping. Yes, that's true. LAN, you're playing zero ping. But you also did play the major, bro. So he adjusted his sensitivity by 0.01, and dominated this grand final with a 1.50 rating, topping the charts on almost every map. Dust 2 on his way beat him. And bro, you changed your sensitivity before a grand final.
Let me tell you a counter story. When we were in Fnatic, that team, I think almost every single player in that team, maybe not all of, but the rest would always change their sensitivity directly when they came to LAN. Because it would be a difference between how good the PC was compared to what they had at home, could change how fast and fluid it felt. So I think
So this is a real thing?
Yes, this is a real thing. I think Flusher used to change it between 0.05 to 0.1. every single LAN. But he would basically, he would go on like a, you know, like a bots deathmatch. He would shoot a couple of times and say either up or down, you know? Sometimes raise it, sometimes lower it, but always very, very slightly.
So based on like the computer, the monitor, the hertz, the whatever, yeah?
Yeah. It can feel smoother than what you have at home.
Have you ever felt that?
Yeah, 100%.
I just sit down and I play and I think I know my sense. I put my sense in, that's it.
No, I think it matters sometimes what how good the PC runs compared to what you have.
I wasn't a pro player, right? So I'm not playing on these fucking high levels. But I mean, I'm just thinking muscle memory. This is my sense. This is what I use. This is crazy. So, okay, maybe Notas actually cracked the code because he did drop crazy numbers. 1.50 rating against Nico, Manasi, Tessez, Kixan, Nucleon's Falcons.
Yep.
He was the Grand Finals MVP. And if only he didn't have those bad games against Spirit and Furia, he would have been the MVP, by the way. I checked with HLTV. Like, it was so close between him and Nota because of that performance, but it was because he had such bad semi and quarter games that you just can't give it to him when Nico performs so well consistently.
Yeah, but I'd still argue that for me,
Nota's impact was...
For me, this was still a Nota MVP. I full respect for Nico and everything, but if you... Just compare a grand final, which I think should still be the most important counter towards that. Because you're playing the best team at the tournament in this game. Nota had a 150, Nico had a 109. I think that difference to me is too massive to give it to Nico. But I, you know, Nico was great throughout the tournament. I think that it was good to see him back to kind of his old self, take some of the old roles. Be part of that, you know, very active Nico instead of that newer passive Nico that we've seen. So, yes, it was great to see Nico, but I still, for me, Nota was MVP. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I would go the same as well. I'll tell you, it wasn't easy for HLTV. There was a lot to look at. And obviously, Nota's overall rating for the eight maps was 1.14, while Nico's overall was 1.20. That's just such a great grand final performance and obviously the trophy as well on top of it. Just a reminder for everyone at home, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and comment anything in the comments. You have a chance to win the knife that is being displayed on your screen throughout all of this. So don't forget, it is a Talon Knife Doppler Phase 4 worth roughly around $1,000 depending on where you're looking on the market. Blue Doppler as well. Beautiful thing. They call it Sapphire.
It's a better knife than I have.
Phase 4, I don't know. Yeah, it is a better life than you have. And we're giving it away for whoever. No sponsors, no nothing. Just to plug that. But this final, right? You know, Monacy's my friend. I got a lot of love for him. But this was bad from him, man. Like, I'll read out what's on his Telegram because he's got his little Telegram channel as well that I follow. Yeah. And he said, congratulations to Dastan and James on winning the trophy. They played really well. I played one of the most unpleasant styles of play. This is my responsibility. I should have done more. Not today again, but how I want to taste victory. Next time it will be different. Now, yeah, sure, next time it can be different, but they have not won any finals with Manasi in there. This wasn't Nico choking. This was Manasi not being able to play against this style. Sometimes he was just getting peaked out of rounds, dropped when he had a good position with an AWP, owned by the rifles, like... This was a rough showing from him, and he really had to be on when they've got Nucleons there as well, you know? Like,
I think, like...
You could argue...
The thing with the style is, like, you as an AWPer, you're looking at your crosshair, you're zoomed in, this is your only objective, you look at the radar sometimes, you know? You're playing a team, you don't know which speed they're playing at, you don't know the timing, you don't know really when they're starting to get map control, because it can be so different round to round. Sometimes they just sneak up and take it fast. Sometimes they just wait. Nothing happens for 40 seconds. And then they start sneak up and take the map control. They start using Molotovs everywhere to clear close corners and stuff like that. And it just felt like he didn't know when to lock in and, you know, hone in his focus, when to shoot. Because of the timings throwing him off. And that tilts you even more and more. But he played pretty poorly, I must say. I mean, you could look at Inferno. as a big example, where, you know, I even talked to you pre doing this podcast. I thought it was a shocking moment when he almost lost them against a Glock Eco. When he was holding long, yeah, they push through the smoke. He misses his first shot. He brings out the USP and tries to take, without any like flash support or anything, just go with the USP, try to get some quick eco kills, and just gets absolutely battered. They lose the open. They are this close to losing that Glock round, but Nico saves the day from sight, because Tessus, when Monacy dies, looks long in panic.
Yeah.
And one guy walks out apartments and clocks him, and Nico is there middle of sight and doesn't know what the fuck he's supposed to do. And I think he got dinked like almost instantly, but managed to survive, managed to buy time, managed to get a couple of kills so the rotations could come in and help him. But these kinds of moments can't happen. It destroys your economy, obviously. It, you know, breaks, you know, a lot of things. And they were very, very close to a comeback in this Inferno. And there was a few moments where I saw... where I saw kind of Monacy shit the bed, so to speak. Very uncharacteristically. And I
felt
think
like he was always playing from behind. And he felt like he was under pressure once he knew he wasn't hitting, and he knew he didn't have a read on the game. And you know, when you're trying to find that flow of the game again, it's sometimes so hard. I will say this. People talk about like game time and saving. Yeah. I feel like it is not such a bad thing in terms of what people used to meme and joke about as it was in like now CSGO to CS2. I will say that Jayme, when he's dead, is telling his team, like, there's rounds where it's a 3v4 on Dust 2. There's four members on A site of the Falcons. They've actually got a good chance. Like, Monacy died in lower B. All three players could easily go now and try and take A and probably have a chance of winning the round. But Jayme says, no, you don't. Two of you of the AKs go save. Sway, pick up that AWP. Yeah. See what you can do. Maybe you can do a bit of economy damage as well. Jayme also killed people after time with the AWP.
And
there was rounds where he
mid-doors.
Killed two players. Yeah, and that was crazy because you don't see Jayme go for them plays. This is such a good style of playing, because if it gets to late games, 13-10s, 12-10s, whatever, 11-11, this is where he's making the right calculations that other players' egos at top level at times will tell them to go for it or try it, you know, because we are better. And some rounds you get are amazing when they pull them off, but he's playing the numbers, he's playing the percentages in a very smart way. And also, Zway said to me on the interview today, pre-match, that like Jayme micromanages everything in such a good way. And you can see why. You can see how it comes together.
But it's such, the way they play, I could almost guarantee you that no matter what team they're playing, they're actually causing the other teams to start arguing with each other. Because it's like, they're hitting B with Kixan and Nucleons through a smoke, and they can only manage to kill like one guy before being traded when they have back plat and car setup. Like, that to me is like, if I, like, I swear to God, my long player is like, what the fuck are you doing on B? Like, literally, it's smoked. You have the perfect positions. How the fuck are you not killing them?
Yeah. Oh. The Dust 2 one was crazy as well. You had Nucleons and Kixan playing B, Nucleons towards the mid, and it became a bully B situation for Paravision. Yeah. They were just like B.
I still don't understand why Falcons didn't really do more to help.
But Monacy to go fight mid and B,
It felt like they just gave up. Like, no, they're not coming B ever again. But they're just gaining the access. Have you seen Paravision? They can hit the B side 12 rounds in a row.
If Paravision and Jayme smell you have a weakness, best believe they are going to exploit that weakness until you bolster. And then when you bolster, then they'll try and change it. But guess what? Don't be too quick to change it, because they might still run it back B. They might just do it again. And this is the magic of them. And it wasn't a boring game. It was an exciting game. How close it got on Dust 2 and on Inferno, the individual stepping up. Again, Zway as well, we haven't spoke about him so much. So Zielo, we saw him back at that 2v2 cup that Evelo was
having. He's incredible.
really good.
Absolutely.
Not
incredible.
The most flashy or crazy, but just if you look at his counter strafing, his precision, some of the holds, like he was on back Inferno, at back boxes, and he played like 4K. A 1v3. Oh, 4K, yeah. 4K in the end, but I think it was a 1v3. And it's just Monacy dance around in the end, and he does it so cleanly. It's like insta-stop kill, yep. Like, it's so on point. Then you've got Jame, who can have highs, credible moments, is calling and IGLing with the AWP, still performing. Beltranok playing his role and position very well, not the most flashy of players. Noto is just a headshot machine, crazy, crazy active. Obviously, we spoke about the sense thing. But Zwei is so comfortable, and Dastan told me, Zwei is bringing a calmness like Jame has in the comms, where the other three less experienced players, a bit more talkative, a bit more stuff's going on. Zwei can bring this calmness to the team, has such good energy around it all as well. Like, there was just a crazy amount of positives here, man.
He looks like a different player. Paravision, I mean, I said last episode, I think that Paravision will be a top 10 team this year. I'm pretty sure that was kind of lowballing it. At this point, mm-hmm. I think that they probably have potential to do even more, maybe even challenge for a top five position this year. But I'm locking in top 10 this year, 100% for me. Like, they're obviously top four now after the first event of the year. But I think
they're already top four VRS.
They are top four in the world in VRS, I think.
Yes. I guess with the names they beat, the points they gained.
Yeah.
Wow. They went from 14th to 4.
Yeah. They're 40 points off top 3 in the world.
Jesus.
So.
What a jump.
I mean, imagine Sway. He's in a team ranked higher than Spirit right now.
Yep. Yep.
So they have.
Sway was not the problem anyway, right?
No. I mean, role-wise, he did not fit.
Yeah.
But now he's playing a role where it seems like he has fluidity, he has freedom, he can express himself on the server. And, you know, it's weird because Paravision is such a strict way of playing, but they can still find a way to fit Sway in and give him some of that freedom. So they've done something magical there.
The last thing I'll say on Paravision as well, right? What James said to me in the winners interview, thanks to his wife for her endless support, his mum, you know, Paravision and the players just believing in him. It was such a nice word from him because he said he had to sacrifice everything in this last year and give all his time, all his energy. For people who don't know and haven't been following, Paravision have a boot camp house, yeah? And they've lived on that boot camp house for over a year. All players, even Zwei, by the way, is in this bootcamp house now. Jame doesn't live with them. He comes to the bootcamp every day, but he lives in the same block. So does Dastan. They have their own apartments, being a bit older. Yeah. Obviously, Jame has his wife. So, you know, his wife is sacrificing at the same time. But, like, that is the commitment these guys have. And guess what? They came back from practice at, like, the very beginning of January. It was, like, New Year's practice. Yeah. This is commitment. Not many other teams are going to be doing it. Now, it might be harder for them to do, say, next year if they went to all these S-tier events and they're constantly being invited and they go for these deep runs the whole time. But I mean, this is the work rate, the effort they're putting in, and this is the discipline that they are showing and the dedication they're showing. And you can only give them credit for trying so hard of it. And they might not go and win the Krakow and the next big event or stuff, but they've definitely put themselves where you can say you can't underestimate them. People will start looking at them a bit more.
Yeah, 100%. I have to kind of chime in with this one as well. This is just released interview on HLTV where James says, this one feels like a regular CCT event.
Well, he said blood.
I don't mean to show off, but that's how it feels in this very second. He said to be honest, land-a-land like evoked incredible emotions at that moment because that's what qualified them to the major, right? So he said that that land was like a top two after Rio, but this
Rio
last
major,
bounty,
by the way.
Yeah, this one feels like a regular CCT event.
tomorrow his opinion will probably change, but I get it. And by the way, James has banger quotes after banger quotes. James is a funny guy. Winner's interview yesterday, in the semifinals, he was like, if you want to learn more, go to Paravision Vlogs.
But like, it's almost like he's calling his entire competition bots, you know, like.
But I know what he means, right? Because he's thinking now in the moment that hype, he's not an emotional person out there, yeah?
Yeah.
So like, he's just gone through the games one game at a time, one game at a day, and like, it's a huge win, but it's not hit him yet, you know, because it wasn't expected. Even for them, it wasn't expected. The last thing about Falcons, before we get on to talking about Krakow, is Monacy obviously was having some struggles. They didn't have Kioski. It means like some people will look at this in a different way. I do think though, that even though they shouldn't have had pressure with Nucleons being there and having a stand-in, also no Zonic, by the way, it's good enough excuses, but you didn't have that pressure now. And I expect them to perform better considering they didn't have that pressure. But they're definitely continuing to choke and crumble under pressure. Different ways, different understanding. This is doesn't matter who they face, It's every time.
Yeah, and I mean...
Like how many finals is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 finals, they have lost since Monacy joined the team. 2-3, Vitality won 3-2, in Melbourne. 3-2, lost to Vitality in Blast Rivals. 3-0 to Vitality in ESL Pro League. 3-1 to in Hong Kong to Furia. And 3-0 now to Paravision.
Yeah, it doesn't sound better when it's so many different opponents either.
Yeah. But they have beaten Vitality twice now in a row in best of threes, just to be clear.
That's true.
That's a positive for them. thing actually to us to do on Blast, we did our winners of the event. I said Falcons, you said Spirit. We said we both chose one team of a winner outside of the top four. We both said Paravision would be the most likely to win. So... we get a little bit of a point, not a full point, but we get a little bit of a point.
Pat on the back for mentioning it.
We made the right call that they would be the best of the four non-elite teams, but now they are an elite team. Awesome stuff.
Well, congratulations to Paravision. I think it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
I still think that Falcons shouldn't be disappointed. I understand the narrative. It's another final. They lost. They've kind of... choke the moment, whatever, but they did play with a stand-in. They didn't have their coach. They did well to get to the grand finals, and they did play all three maps in the grand finals pretty close. I wouldn't be like that harsh on myself. If I had Kioski there, it would have been a different story.
Definitely. All right, let's go on to all things IEM Krakow. Sadly, I wasn't invited to be talent, neither are you, so we won't be there, but we'll be watching the games. I will be moving around a little bit, getting ready for the baby to be born as well, taking the time into doing that stuff. I'm sad to not be at Krakow though, man. Kadoru Krakow, like this legacy, prestigious event. I hope it's going to be a phenomenal event. I hope the crowd's going to be better. The arena should be bigger and more impressive than what Katowice had to offer, but I'm just really sad to not be there and working it. But we're still watching some great Counter-Strike. So we start in stage one. There's 16 teams in here. Teams attending: G2, Aurora, Liquid, 3D Max, Astralis, Pain, Passion UA, 8, Paravision, Legacy, Gamer Legion, Heroic, Foot, Ninjas in Pyjamas, NRG, and BC Game. So G2, we haven't seen them since the major. Didn't make playoffs at the major. One game away, got eliminated by Falcons. Didn't make any changes. Yeah, they're rocking with this team. That's what they believe is going to help them still in this season. Aurora, we saw them in Blast Bounty. They lost to Gamer Legion on the online stage. Soulfly's a new player in. Liquid, sadly, NAF has this really sad family emergency. So Crimbo is coming in to help them out. He was obviously on the bench for Big. 3D Max, poor showing at Blast Bounty, poor showing at the Major. Astralis, Ryu and Fuzi now in tow. Pain, VSM and Piria Jr. trying to show their stuff. Obviously, they would have had more time in Europe. I'm hoping they stayed in Europe this whole time practicing. Actually, I was DMing Snow. They did stay in Europe. They've been in Europe the whole time. Passion UA, still want to see more from them. bait with Segu Kawa, the Ukrainian person we were talking about, the AWPer now replacing Hedtrick. Obviously, Paravision, we know enough about them. Legacy, no changes, need to step up after the major. Game Elysian, Heroic, hopefully back with Alcarim, but it's not guaranteed, by the way. So it could be Youngster again. Foot could do some damage here. We saw what they can do before. Yep. Ninjas in Pyjamas. Still need to see how they're getting on with Ken coming into the team. NRG from North America. They obviously skipped Blast Bounty after doing... Yeah, OC, but they skipped Blast Bounty after playing the FLOM Las Vegas event.
Yep.
So we'll see. OC needs to step up because he was struggling a bit since he got into the back to the top team. And then the big one, BC Game, Electronic and Simple with the Portuguese core. Now, I don't know if you were following the online games, but
I have seen the results.
The first game they lost to Ursa, a team I have no idea. No, I don't even know any of the individual players, some highly skilled Russian players, supposedly. Nemesis, another Russian team as well. But they did play Nemesis at 2 a.m. European time for a qualifier. And Simbol was trying to carry bag as much as possible, but it was very late for everyone. So I'm not going to give them a pass, but I'm going to say you didn't even get far in that. But all the results BC Game have don't give me confidence that they're going to do well. Like, I'm nervous for them.
I mean, it's early on in the season, but I don't expect much either. We'll see. Maybe when it's a big game like this, they can kind of get really motivated. Because, I mean, if they kind of they're on the very edge, they bought this core to be in this position, to have this chance to accumulate points. And if they're not ready right now for this tournament, like right now to kind of snatch these points, they're going to drop off. They're going to drop off below that line, and they're going to have to earn these points through other means, like going to smaller lands, playing, like it's a much harder route than if they could instantly grab some points here, stick themselves in that top 20, top 25 of VRS, and kind of cruise on from there. But if they lose their games early on, like imagine if they double lose game, because it's double elimination, right? It's lower bracket.
Oh yeah, so the format for this as well is crazy, right? Because it's double elimination, but there's no A or B groups or anything like that. So like where you are within this group, you face the next opponent in the next line and how it works. So it's two games to qualify. If you lose one, then you still got more to, like, you three games to qualify, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, three and games to for play.
For BC Game, this is pretty tough teams overall.
Legacy opening look at game.
I do think that maybe they have the easier part of the bracket. If I look at it from the perspective of the top side of the bracket is Aurora Gamer Legion, Heroic Paravision, Liquid NIP, Passions G2. On BC's games, kind of part of the bracket, it's Legacy, BC Game, Foot 3D Max, Pain Astralis, NRG and Bait. I think that they're lucky in which part of the bracket they are.
Legacy is a really hard opening game, though, mate.
It's a very hard opening game, yes. But it could be a disaster for BC Game in this opening. But I think that we should probably go with predictions pretty, like, are we just going to go straight into that and talk about teams as we predict them comparably? Because is there that much we can say about these teams right now? We've only really seen Paravision.
We've seen Paravision, we've seen Liquid, we've seen Aurora, we've seen Foot, NIP, 3D Max, Astralis, Pain, Nip, Foot. So like we've seen a lot of the teams here. For G2, there was rumors that Malbs were being changed. G2 came out early and said, like, no, I didn't actually hear any of the rumors that Malbs would be changed. So like for me, that was kind of out there. They had such a high at London, remember? And then after that, it's been struggles on struggles. Not making both major playoffs is a pain.
Let's be fair. I think they actually played really well at the major, even though they didn't qualify for the next stage.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying they didn't play well. I just mean it's a team and an organization who is looking at major playoffs and they didn't make two of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So that harms them. And they're like, look at this. ESL Pro League, they had bad performances in. Chengdu, top eight. You know, like, it is, they are out of the playoff conversation a lot of the time. Aurora, you just got to hope that this boot camp, the time with Soulfly now, because remember the first game they played at Blast, he wasn't in the boot camp, and then he came to the boot camp afterwards. So maybe they've had some more time to get comfortable with him, but obviously they still lost the game, Legion. 3D Max is my biggest worry, because they had a boot camp at the beginning of the year, then didn't play Blast Online from boot camp. They played from home. And I don't know, man. We spoke about Macca, right, in the past, like where you can go with it.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Legacy. Legacy's got me excited because this is a team that should come back super fueled, super motivated, ready to dominate everything. But they, even in this Rush B Summit Season 1 tournament, they played this year, at the beginning of the year, they beat MIBR, they beat Game Hunters, they lost to Sharks, and they lost to MIBR afterwards.
Hmm.
It's not a good sign for going into Krakow.
No.
Yeah, that's regional competition, considering how highly we put them. If we look at like PGL Masters, look at CAC, these wins they were having. So they're in a bit of a struggle. Bait is, did they make the right choice now with the Segu Takawa? We obviously spoke about that on the podcast as well.
I mean, they cannot lose to NRG.
No, they just, especially the OC is not in good form. But like Passion, they lost the game Legion 2-1. They looked pretty bad online. They obviously would have stayed there practicing and making it work, but they need to bounce back. And here they have to do it. Other teams to touch on. There's not really too many other teams to touch on. So we want to go through our predictions we gave them in earlier.
Yeah, you've given them to Ivan, right?
Ivan, yes. Ivan has my predictions.
Yes.
You gave yours?
I have given mine, yes.
So let me read this off. So first game is Aurora Game Legion.
Yes.
I picked Game Legion.
I picked Aurora.
Okay, why?
I mean, last time around, it was a very, very close one. I think that, you know, there are still some kinks to kind of sort out with Soulfly for this Aurora side. I do think that they're usually a very good team at kind of fixing these things early on in a season and kind of have a harder time the longer the season goes. So I'm expecting them to bounce back and do a better job. I do think it's scary still that they're playing Gamer Legion because they will veto that Anubis. They will not allow it through, which is kind of my hope for this resurgence of Aurora in some sense. Big part of that is that Anubis coming back into their map pool, that they can have a stronger map pool and kind of fight their way through it. But they're still going to be able to play or have to play teams that don't. I think it's a tough one. 50-50 for me, but if Anubis was in there and Gamer Legion didn't veto it, I would 100% go for Aurora.
I feel like what I still saw from Gamer Legion is more positive than what I saw from Aurora, and I'm normally big on the Aurora and I'm a big fan of them, but I feel like I wish Jota stayed. They obviously didn't want it, that's why I went with Gamer Legion. With what I saw from Gamer Legion, it was more positive. Next game was Paravision Heroic. I guess we both went Paravision.
Yes.
Yep. No real reason to question it. We don't even know if Heroic gonna have Alcaren coming in, like even with their full lineup. Like,
I still think people shouldn't sleep on Heroic. I think they can still be a very exciting team to watch. But I think that Paravision is a team that, you know, if you are a little bit unbalanced in your team already, Paravision is going to have a field day unbalancing you for real in the game. So I think it's a bad matchup for Heroic overall. But against some of the other teams, I would probably even been enticed to pick Heroic in other matchups.
Yeah. Okay. Astralis Pain. I went Astralis and I like Pain.
I went Pain.
Oh, we split again. So I'll tell you why I picked Astralis, just because I saw a lot of positives from Pain, but I felt like it was a bit more predictable. And I feel like Astralis Ryu, I'm a really big fan of what I saw from him. I might be glazing him too much, but we'll find out. I feel like I'm still not sold on Snow being able to play to the best of his ability at all times.
I mean, for me, this was a matchup where I don't really know where I have both teams. I think they both made kind of significant changes. They're probably going to need significant time. And it's a very even matchup.
Kind of a fair fight. Yeah.
It's a very, very even matchup because both have made obviously two changes. With Piraya Jr. and VSM. Or Piraya Jr.
PR Jr.
But anyways, I think it's a fair fight. They're both not going to have everything in order, everything being perfect. It's probably going to be a pretty chaotic game. I went for Pain purely out of the smile of VSM. I think that's, you know, the one thing that will push Pain through. I think a lot of Karalios from Snow and smiling from VSM is a good recipe for
victory. The Snow and VSM tag team is something to be looking at. Keep an eye out for that for sure. Then I've got NRG versus Bait. I went for Bait.
I went for Bait as well. I don't know much about OC, and I can't even remember the last time he was a pro player. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't really know. Like, when I saw him last.
Back when he was on Liquid?
It feels like... So apparently it was even back when he was on NRG. He was replaced by Exotic, right?
Mm-hmm. Exotic is much better as well. But Exotic wants to go do real life stuff. Yeah, so his teammate was the last pro team. That was back in 2023, end of 2023.
And then it's NRG. But I don't know what to expect. I think Exotic was like the main part of why I was excited about this NRG. And with that being removed, I don't really hold that much hope unless Bait has like really flunked this move and just destroyed their team completely by adding Segukawa.
You got Ken's as well, man. You got MPL. There's no way. There's no way.
So I'm going Bait.
All right. Legacy BC game. Legacy.
Symbol is my goat. Legacy. I don't know.
But
like,
I didn't look at how bad Legacy's recent results are. But both of them have trash results. Both of them look bad right now.
But Simple on LAN
with Electronic. Yeah. But Simple on LAN. All the hype, all the like, that's going to be the most viewed game of this stage. Is all of the Simple ones. It's not even close.
I mean, yes, there might be some it's going watching. To be very, very exciting to see. And he's probably going to have to put up a crazy performance if they're going to win this game.
Yeah. Mega carry time. All right, next FUT 3D Max. I went FUT.
I went FUT this time. I have lost all my hope in 3D Max.
You're learning.
3D Max, you are dead to me.
wow.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I look at them and they look flat. I don't know how to fix that. They look flat.
It's kind of rough. It's kind of rough. I think FUT is just a very interesting team. Jugs is a super interesting player. A couple of Ukrainians on there as well, which means I'm definitely going to be biased. Next game we got is Liquid taking on NIP, a rematch from Blast Bounty. Liquid won it last time, but obviously now they don't have NAF there. And Ultimate underperforming, NAF not there, Crimbo filling in. I don't feel like Liquid can do this. I think it's going to be NIP. I think it's NIP's time to win. Crimbo hasn't played since October. And he got removed from the big lineup. It's not a huge amount of time off, but I mean, he hasn't been exactly looking great before that. could be just a lot to do with Big. I think it's a great opportunity for him to showcase himself as someone that people might want to pick up again. But yeah, I've gone NIP. Who'd you go for?
I went for NIP as well. I think a lot of the similar reasons to you, but I didn't really put it as heavy on just the lineup. I just thought, even if this was a rematch with both teams having the same circumstances as last time, I would have picked NIP. I think that, you know, I like Snappy. I like, obviously, Exist is the coach behind them. I like the team build. And I could see them, a week could be a massive difference for a team like this. And I think with Liquid, also with the kind of chaos, they're not going to get so many steps further because of the standing situation and everything in the lineup compared to an NIP. And it was a very close game last time. I think even NIP probably played better, but Liquid had the leash.
Yeah. True. All right, and the last game, Passion versus G2, and I'm going straight in for G2. Just the caliber of players and what they've got should be better.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if Passions managed to get a win in this matchup.
Yeah, definitely. It's too much to ask for. Now, we also got to make sure we predict our eight teams going to the next stage.
Ooh, that's one I haven't done.
Aha. Eight teams will move on to stage two, my friend. So you can think about that for a moment, and I'll just say my eight teams out for you straight away. Okay?
Yep.
So I think Paravision, G2, Aurora, Astralis. Oof.
Weren't you just going to say them straight out?
Yeah,
I thought this was going to be a quickie.
Wait. So did I, bro. And they got harder. bro, this cooked me. This cooked me more.
I can try.
Go on.
I can try. I will say Bait. I will say Paravision.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Legacy. I will say G2. I'm going to look at the bracket here. Dun. I will say... Did I say... Oh, fuck. Forgot who I said.
See, this is why I had to write it down. I lost.
I said G2 Legacy. I said Bait. Paravision. I'll take Aurora. Yeah. NIP. One. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. I'll take Foot as well. Last one.
Good. All right. So I'm going to go Foot, Paravision, G2, Aurora, Bait, Pain, NIP, and Legacy or BC game. Legacy or BC game.
What do you mean?
BC game.
You're cooked, man.
Hey, bro, sometimes you gotta swing for the fences. Sometimes you should believe in your homie.
True.
You know?
True.
Sometimes you gotta believe in your boy. Oh, dear. All right.
And I have a question.
Then is our Q&A? Oh, no.
I'll do even this question. So... Obviously, between the stages, we'll do another episode. And that's when we predict the winner of the event, right?
Yeah, because someone was trying to get me to do it before. I just said as a random. Maybe
Ivan said to me as well. And I also did a random one. But I said it probably makes more sense to do it the next episode.
Yeah, not now. Not now. We can just say I preface that Vitality will win the whole event anyway. Bigger stage, fix themselves. Go, go, go.
I double down on Spirit this time, but it's not my primary pick.
Not yet.
All depends on who qualifies.
Okay. If Paravision qualify, you're not saying Spirit will win.
Exactly.
All right.
But
let's do the Q&A then. So again, I'll just remind everyone, we're giving away the Talon Knife Doppler Phase 4 or Phase 3. Wait a second, let me check which one it is for our life. Phase 4, worth about $1,000. For anyone on this channel who is subscribed and drops a comment on this video, you have to be subscribed and drop a comment in order to enter the giveaway. And as always, if you joined our Discord, you can ask questions. Can you check the Discord quickly and see if there's any more questions that come in when we're filming as well?
Let's so within our Discord, that.
It is all about cs.gg/Discord. You can join the Discord and you can take part in asking some questions, talk to the community in there. We're building that up throughout our episodes as we go as a podcast on this journey. Okay, so the first question is from a guy called Tinal Kesperdersen. And he says, hey from Denmark, I like your podcast because of your in-depth analysis and your yin-yang energy. Banks being the upbeat, yeah, that's me, and Devork being the karma beat, true. You support each other in a great way. Well, thank you very much, dude. That's very kind of you. I'll definitely like more Devil walkthroughs. It could be fun if in your pick'ems had to explain your pick in one short sentence. Oh, we kind of did that, I guess, this time. Tell me if we did this, Mr. Tinali. If we didn't, then maybe we need to do more for you. But yeah, I'll just answer that in that way. Devil didn't do a Devil walkthrough because you're too busy playing face it. You forgot. You failed.
Yeah, but I have an idea now. I want to.
I don't.
The thing is.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Okay. I have a great idea. I have a great idea.
He has a great
idea. So it will come. I have a great idea. That's all you get.
And actually execute it. Don't be lazy. All right. Yes. First question is from Risen. He says, do you believe Na'Vi and FaZe should have made changes in the offseason? If so, who do you think has to go? I do not think that Na'Vi or FaZe needed to make changes. I think that Na'Vi needed to one more 6 months of this lineup to see what they can do, in my opinion. And FaZe definitely not after you take second place in a major. I don't think it's time for them to make changes. Maybe Brokey is the one that needs to be looked at if we're talking about FaZe. Brokey is my still only question mark. Twist, Frozen, Kerrigan, Jacob, I'm still believing in. What about you, Devil?
I think it's a tough one. I think if you would have removed the major, I think it's a no questions asked. FaZe has to make changes.
Of course.
And it's almost like, you know, HLTV's been saying, they've kind of won themselves a little bit more time with this lineup because of that performance. Yeah. The problem is that they are inconsistent and they'll continue to be inconsistent with this lineup. But we all know where the ceiling is, but that's not really what we're looking for. We're looking for them to be consistently performing at tournaments, consistently showing their, you know, themselves in playoffs and being dangerous to every team in the world. And I don't believe that they will be that. So it all depends on, it's a tricky, because you can't really make changes when you come top two at the major. That's the problem.
You want to read out Scorger's question next?
Yes. So from Scorger, which team in the top 20 who don't get results this season will you expect changes from? My pick here is Mouse. You can't be top five for so long and not get more than one trophy. In 2025, at major events, the results looked amazingly frustrating. 5 non-placed finishes, 2 of these, the first 2 events of 2025, 7 34th places, 4 second places, and 1 win.
Yep. By the way, Skorga, you are tapped great question. In. You definitely understand. You chose Miles. I will agree with Miles. I think, like, for me, I thought Miles was going to make a change in this season, but they didn't. So that was a big fluff. I'm guessing they try Brolan a little bit more as IGL, and then they see what happens. It'll be between Brolan and Yimfat. Maybe they'll look at that as the options to change. For another team in the top 20, Liquid. Liquid has to be it, because Liquid spent so much money on CS, and if things don't go over Ultimate, they need to be it. So they're my two, Miles and Liquid.
I think for me, I'll add FaZe and Na'Vi into this mix. I think they need to start competing. I'm just saying, if we look at it like this, Banks, look at me. look me in the eyes.
I'm looking at you.
And say that if Na'Vi do not get a single trophy this season, you don't want any changes. Is that what you're telling me?
Okay. I'll concede. If they don't get a trophy, they need to make changes.
No trophies the entire year. That's what I'm saying.
Hot take here. It'll be Bit that needs to go.
Okay. I think these two teams and the way they're aiming for both their lineups, the weight of their brand to some extent, they need to pick up trophies. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
If they don't succeed, changes are needed. And I feel like it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think I need to explain it more. I just think that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. Last question is from Cloudy, and it says, seeing how Falcons played the recent matches, even though there weren't many, it seems like that the pressure is the number one thing holding them back. Do you think there is any other solution than winning a tournament to get it out of the way? Because I think even if they win one, if they don't continue winning, their mentality blockade will come back /stay. Pressure is a huge thing for them because of the organization, because of the money spent, because of the salary spent, because of the pressure on Zonic, because of community expectations, their expectations. They are a crazy super team because you have Nico, Manasi, Kioski on one team. All of these things is pressure. They have one of the best psychologists, sports performance coaches in Lars, in all of CS, who's won 4 majors with Astralis. He's had a major with Vitality. He's had huge success, but he can't get it working. And he wasn't even here at Blast Bounty. Now, I don't expect him to be at every event. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, there's some work that needs to be done here. And it is pressure, because they played really well with no pressure of Nucleons. And then they were the favorites in the final. And they probably should have won against Paravision, but they didn't still. They can't handle the pressure. How you get over that is not just winning one tournament, but it's also believing. It's also understanding how to win some of these finals when it's sloppier, not like some dominant one as well. One trophy will not be enough. I was so impressed with how Falcons played against Vitality, but this ending was sour all of that. And I think each player needs their own maybe specific sports performance person, like one that can speak Russian to Manasi, one that can maybe speak Serbian to Nico and how they deal with it. Tessez also underperforms compared to when he plays online. There's a lot of pressure because everyone's worried that they'll be cut if these trophies don't come because of what Falcons wants and Falcons demands. This is like the Real Madrid of Counter-Strike, but without any of the accolades.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably an Al Nassr or something where Ronaldo is to some degree. Because they don't have the accolades.
Saudi? Did they win in Saudi or not?
I don't think they did. Maybe they did. I don't know. But either way,
I'll find out.
I think that Falcons is a very unique team. If I would speak about pressure from my experience in other teams, I don't think I can remotely get close to the amount of pressure that's built up into this team compared to any of my experience, because of, as you mentioned, the org, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. the players that they brought in, bought out of contracts to create this super team. We've seen time and time again in history where you make this marketing, you know, move where you bring all the big players together, it almost mm-hmm. always crashes and burns. And usually very much faster than how long Falcons have kept it going. The one thing I'll say, you know, it's a mental issue, but not everything is under their control because of this unique kind of circumstance. In a normal team, you would talk to, as you mentioned, a sports psychologist and talk about mentality, the expectations when you go into a game. Because it's a weird balance of you as a player need to be confident enough that you think that you're going to win the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
But if your expectation is winning the game, you will get mad when you lose rounds. And it will mentally block you from doing the things that you need to do. That's, for example, why Donk tilts in the games that he tilts in, is because he expects to win this round with what he contributed to the round. The same way it works for anyone who plays faces. If you get a 4K and you lose a 1v4 after or 1v5, you fucking tilt because you expected to win this round. So I think they're in a weird kind of state where should they remove themselves from the expectation, but they know that everyone else expects them to win. So it, how do you cleanse yourself from a scenario where everyone expects you to do better?
Yeah.
And still not expect to win. Like, I think it's almost an impossible scenario they're in to remove themselves from that choking mental blockade or whatever.
By the way, I just found out Cristiano Ronaldo in the whole time has never won the league with Al-Nassr.
Yeah. There you go.
Money doesn't buy you trophies. Teamwork and discipline and enjoying playing CS together without that pressure and handling the pressure as a team, like Vitality. Or Paravision, who play very calmly throughout their games, can get you it. Paravision won a trophy before Falcons did with nowhere near the money being spent. There you go. Yeah. But that's it, Devilwalk. Episode 48 is done. I am Krakow. We're going to a new place. The history
giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, guys. Giveaway. Talon Knife, Doppler, Factory New, Phase 4. Looks very beautiful. Worth around $1,000. No sponsors, no nothing. All you have to do is be subscribed to this channel and comment. You have to do both, otherwise you cannot win. Good luck, have fun. We'll pick the winner, I don't know when, maybe on the next episode, I'm guessing. Probably that's the way we'll do it. But yeah, it's just a giveaway from us, personally, me and Devilwalk's money, to you, putting it in for you guys, for the support of the channel, for the support of the podcast. So enjoy, we appreciate it. And thank you very much for watching, as always. I didn't do the date and time, so today was actually the 25th of January still. We started the episode a couple of hours ago, so I don't know the time. Devilwalk is in Sweden. I'm here in Malta. And next episode, I don't know where I'll be. We'll find out. Somewhere around the world. Not in Krakow. Not in Krakow, sadly. Devilwalk will be at home.
Playing Face It.
All right. You'll be playing Face It. I'll be, I don't know, moving stuff to get the baby ready or get ready for the baby coming in March. But enjoy the Counter-Strike. We're just at the beginning of this amazing 2026 season. Thank you as always for watching. Enjoy the video. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you for episode 49 in between the break between stage 1 and stage 2 of Krakow.